I mean, it was our free labor that helped build the wealth of this country that they're still lavishly living off of. And so we were brought here as slaves to work, and we, that role of being a slave helped not only degrade us, but by white workers allowing that to continue, it helped degrade the whole labor movement. And the same thing applies today when you look at the pool of unemployed black workers. Just like they were able to bring slaves up north to fill in the positions of the white workers who were going out on strike to get a union, they're able to bring up brothers and sisters from the South even today. They did it in the Greyhound. They're doing it in terms of the Daily News. They're going to continue to do that as long as white workers capitalize on their white skin privilege and allow us to be disorganized by not fighting that your union send people down to organize in the South, for example. Then you will continue to have this pool of people that can be used against your efforts to organize. So that is a contradiction that we have to deal with. But on the other hand, in spite of that, there has always been the consistent trend and view among black workers that they needed to be organized. They were, if you don't organize me, I'm gonna organize myself. And that's how the corpus came into being. And if you want me to organize with you, you're going to have to take up some of our demands. You're going to have to deal with the question of discrimination. You're going to have to deal with the fact that you'll be working inside and I'm working in the foundry, and you're working in a higher paid skilled job. Those are themes that we still have to deal with today. And all throughout our history, you have Isaac Myers, who organized the Corkers. You have the National Labor Union that was formed, that brought together two basic unions, and that was the mechanics, the longshoremen, and the caucus. And these unions, one thing with black workers when they organized, they never just dealt with the issues in the shop. They dealt with community issues. They acted as a resource of human resource as well as a financial resource. They bargained and negotiated with the political organizations and political leadership to increase and better the conditions in the black community. We see that evidence today. So even when the Colored National Labor Union was formed in 1869, the issues that they raised up, and we need to examine whether or not those themes and issues still exist today. One, they fought against the exclusion of blacks from the labor union. They fought for the fact that black organized union, white organized workers needed to organize black workers. And they fought for blacks that were in the community. And as I mentioned earlier, they also, the monies that they raised within that organization and the fact that they had people who were disciplined and organized, they used that those resources to continue to organize around other issues that affected us in the community. And we see that in other types of organizations that grew up after that. We look at it in terms of the National Alliance of Postal and Federal Employees, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Workers, DRUM, the National Negro Labor Council, CBTU, and Black Workers for Justice. So one of the things that we see is that we always recognize that there was a need to organize inside and outside the union, that there was a need to push the unions to do what they were supposed to do if they said they represented all workers. And those are the things that I hope that our speakers today, some of the things that our speakers today will talk about in terms of its application. I'm asking the speakers to limit their comments to about 10 minutes because I want to encourage as much discussion. I want people to use the booklet or other paper that they have to write down their questions, their comments, and their concerns. We have 5 speakers. I'm asking some people in the audience not to be speakers today. I know you all have very important things to say, but to encourage discussion and dialogue, we want people to put forward questions and brief statements, but not speeches. Let me start with Brother General Baker, okay, who's one of the founding members of the League of Revolutionary Black Workers. He's the ex-president of the Coke Oven Furnace Unit of UAW Local 600 and the staff member of UAW Local 600. We have Brother Gordon Dillahunt, who's the president of APWU of Raleigh and the director of research and education in North Carolina Council of APWU. He also, with his sister, runs the Freedom Books and is a member of Black Workers for Justice. We have the sister, Ashaki Binta, who's an organizer for the Black Workers for Justice. She She's also a member of this Women's Commission, and she was one of the key organizers in Keysville, Georgia, which was a struggle, for those of you who might not be aware of it, was a struggle for governmental control in a predominantly black community in Keysville, Georgia, when the white community had effectively in the 30s rendered that community without any type of governmental leadership. They just got rid of all of the leadership. And that struggle was victorious because now we have a sister who's a black mayor and we have a black city council. She was also a former member of SEIU in Chicago and an organizer and worker in the Harold Washington campaign. We have Sister Ida Mae Best, who is from North Carolina, who is a former worker of Goldtex textile plant. She was recently fired because she was one of the key and strong supporters of trying to get ACTU in as a union in this particular plant. I'd like to start with Brother General Baker in terms of his presentation. Thank you.